Hi friends, it's Fred Greenhalgh, producer here at Realm. The next episode of the dark fiction series Ominous Thrill is ready for your ears. It's called Secret in Silver Falls, and it's a Cold War era creature feature. Here's a short preview.
Ned, it's a government facility, so even if I had...
Well, my government doesn't keep secrets from citizens, just enemies.
Okay, but that's not really how it works.
Are you saying we're the enemy?
I'm not saying that. It's just...
Gotcha, you little shit.
Ned.
How about we go inside, you and me? You can tell me what's happening. And then I can tell all these fine folks there ain't nothing to worry about.
I don't have answers to share with you.
I insist.
Ominous Thrill is out now, everywhere you listen.
Every 5 minutes, someone dies while waiting for a compatible donor heart, liver, or kidney. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists strive to engineer an animal with human-compatible organs, thereby saving millions of lives. But these ancestors are not the docile herd animals they envision. Instead, the project spawns something big, something evil, something hungry. Ancestor by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler is available for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody. It's the big question for these things always. Kira and Aries asked it, what was your favorite episode this season and why? I will go first. Mine was episode 69, which is the one where Caldwell issues the final ultimatum to Ren. Ren then goes rounds the team up when they're getting ready for bed, yells at all of them, reminds them who's boss, basically, in a way that is very off-putting. And then meanwhile, also, Sam is listening to the Anna tape about the ice cream truck and the clowns, and it's more and more disturbing. And then after Ren finishes delivering that, like, it's basically mask off Ren and then mask off everyone sort of reacting to it. That was like, I didn't quite know what to expect from that episode. And then I just ended up being really, really, really happy with how it came out and like the writing process for it. And I feel very proud of it. So I think that one was my favorite one, but it truly is hard to pick because I could list about 10 more episodes that are also my favorite. Mm-hmm. And then like, I don't think I have any personal duds in this season, so I love all of them.
I always hate this question, but especially for this season, just because I feel like every episode was so strong in different ways.
Every child's my favorite.
Yes, honestly, that's how I feel. I think the two episodes, I'll change it slightly and say the two episodes that I was most excited about when they came together and was most surprised by and like the process of editing them, episode 68, which I already talked about, which was, you know, the episode after Sam goes across the veil and gets horrifically injured, has that lovely moment with Kate, and then the strange looping Jabberwocky poem from Anna on the tape. That one, I was not there for the recording session with Aaron, so there were just so many just fun and wild surprises in the way she delivered that monologue and the way it came together. So that was just so fun to listen to and so fun to discover in the process of editing it.
I know Aaron like really had a good time with that one too. Like she was like, I want to try something else. And like she played Lady Macbeth one time in a Shakespeare in the Woods thing. So I feel like she was channeling a lot of that like madness sort of.
Fun fact, the first thing I ever saw both Aaron and Mike Kennedy in, it was that production of Macbeth where he was playing. Mm. Macbeth.
That's right. He was playing.
Yeah. Which is, it's just very strange now for the characters they play.
Same. That's the first time I saw
Morrison and Anna. Yeah, that is funny. Oh, we should maybe make a Macbeth reference in season four. This is just occurring to me right now. Fair. I need to write this down.
And also speaking of Mike Kennedy, episode 73, Après-moi le déluge, that one was just another one where the performance that Mike put in just kept surprising me as I was editing in just all the layers and just how effectively he delivered that just absolutely insane monologue we gave him. And just the slow building tension of that episode, along with, of course, the lovely scene between Ezra and Sophie at the start. And that's the then that's also the episode with Aaron's favorite scene. So yeah, in the cold open. So yeah, there was just so much good stuff in that episode. And just as a kickoff to what basically was our three-part finale. I just love that one so much. And I'm so glad that one came out like the Friday before Halloween, because that was perfect timing.
Yes.
Yeah. That was not at all planned for.
I'm sticking with my guns. I really liked Todo Se Pasa. That's my favorite. Just was very rewarding to work on and be a part of. And I'm sure everyone in my life is very sick about hearing me talk about it, actually.
Well, I hope not.
You did so well in it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful episode. You really brought so much life and presence to it.
Absolutely.
It's all the good writing that was put into it, you know?
Yes, I'm so grateful I got to like work with Vianne on that and get their input and their guidance on that. And like so many of the beautiful details in that came from things that they provided. And that was a really, really fun partnership there.
Absolutely. And Ezra?
Yeah, I really think this season was just no misses with the writing. All of the episodes were incredible. And it is hard to pick a favorite, but I do think episode 69 is also my favorite. I was at that table read, even though Ned's not in that episode, but I was at the table read and I actually got to read for Ren Park because Sam Taylor was not there. And
that's right.
I got to act opposite Chris Allison, who plays Dr. Caldwell. And I was shitting my pants. Chris is like an incredible actor. Just so good. I was
so
like,
good.
Yeah, they're in this. Like,
oh, 100%.
Ren gets absolutely destroyed.
Chris is Caldwell. I can't imagine anyone else in that role.
Just sublime in that role. And also, it has just some really great Rob. And for those of you who don't know, I'm like the number one Rob Quincy fan. He's my favorite.
Which is really ironic considering the one interaction your characters have had in the show was just so petty.
He's a good man, okay?
And and Ned must destroy that at all costs.
You know, he kind of lost himself for a little bit there, but we got to see Rob kind of come back and be like, no, look, Bill is my person and I'm Bill's person and this is how it's going to be. And I just love that specific moment. I think that's what pushes it into like favorite territory for me. And Virginia, I admire you so much as a writer and like everything you write. But
thank you, Ezra.
Yes, it was a beautiful episode and a beautiful season.
I also want to shout out episode 59, which is the one that took place in White Sands with the Jovian. I love just a banger of a script from Van Winkle. And I love that there's so many, like, just the way that the Jovian has those harsh questions for, like, what's your purpose? And Kate is struggling so hard with that. And, like, the way that just feels so stark against the backstory of like the creation of the atomic bomb and like bombing a giant portion of New Mexico to test out this like huge death machine. And like, there's just like so much there that is so existential and dark. And then they're just sort of left with like, okay, that's a lot to think about.
But hey, that's not the end of the world we're looking for, so moving swiftly along.
Right, so moving swiftly along, yeah.
which is in many ways a summary of the whole season and why everyone gets in so much trouble at the end.
And then I did also just, I have to shout out Cassandra Teese again. I so loved writing episode 60 with her for the Apocalypse Songs crossover. Go listen to Apocalypse Songs if you never have. It's 5 episodes. Listen to in one sitting is what I recommend. It is so well written. The crossover that we wrote is essentially like sort of a prequel to Apocalypse Songs, because by the time you see Amy Louise Chen in the actual show, she is like a seasoned reporter doing like a special on this mysterious musician from the 60s. It's really good. It's really, really good. Go listen to it.
I liked two of them, I think. I would say I had two favorites. Episode I haven't written down over here because I can't remember what they're called. Episode 51, Vox Aeternum. That one was just really fun. It was really fun to record. I got to work with a bunch of new actors who were all brilliant, and it was such a good learning experience. And there was a lot of different scenes. So it was just a fun one to record because each scene was a little different. And then I really enjoyed, I believe it was called A Clarion Calling. That was episode 60.
Yes, the crossover one.
Yeah. It was so much fun working with that actress as well. And it was mostly dialogue. So it just made the recording process really fun. It was just, it was just a lot of fun. I really just enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cassandra, I think, wrote most of that dialogue, and she's such a good writer. Yeah.
We also do tend to give Anna quite a few very hefty monologues throughout the series. So
dialogue is all. Yeah. And of course I enjoy that, but I think, Trevor, you know, because I've jokingly said it over the years, I really enjoy the dialogue scenes, and that one was mostly dialogue. And, and that, it wasn't just that reason why I enjoyed it. I just, it was just a fun one to record.
No, it absolutely was. So much fun working with that team.
Yeah, I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, I love all of them so much. I hope to visit them someday in Wellington. I had dreams about being in Wellington, actually, while I was writing that. That was pretty cool. That was a cool benefit.
I want to go on that writer's walk.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the writer's walk, actually, this is actually a funny story about that. At some point when we were like finishing up the script, we were worried that like, wait, are we going to get sued for like having these excerpts of these poems?
I was
in
worried.
Here? Right. Because that's a reasonable thing to worry about as Americans. That's a thing that can happen all the time. And we mentioned this to Cassandra, and she was like, I really don't think you have to worry about that. New Zealand's not very litigious. And like, so anyway, she was like, well, I know someone at the Writer's Walk. So she just emailed them, and they were like, oh, that would be wonderful. By the way, we're looking for someone to redesign our website, you know, so-and-so and such. Do you have any recommendations? It was just like, so like, hey, right. How you doing? Hey, how you doing? Yeah, we all know each other. So anyway. Right. Side question. It was just a really funny email to see it's just a much smaller country, and it's great. And they were like, yeah, of course. And then we, you know, of course, gave them a shout out in the show notes for being so great.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we could use the full quotes from those poems in the Writer's Block.
My favorite episode of this season is episode 61, Laisse les bons temps rouler. Listen, Caldwell, barely in that episode. The scene she has with Jerry is extremely funny to me because she has no idea what's happening and she doesn't seem like a person to whom that happens a lot. So her confusion was so entertaining. But just this episode, it had everything. It had New Orleans, an architectural walking tour, vampires, people being f***ed up to vampires, drunk Sam. Every now and then I will just shout the big jazz to myself and it makes my day. And you know, things ending like kind of happily, like in a fun way for everyone, it was just really nice. It was a really fun episode and I liked it a lot. I was there for the table read of that one and I was just very glad that I don't record with my camera on because you all would have just seen me the whole time. Almost falling off of my little chair with laughter because I was having a ball.
My favorite episode this season was definitely episode 63, Todo Se Pasa. The story of Maria's family, it was just so... It did that thing that I think I love about the Sheridan tapes, which is this balance between intimate, emotional, moving storytelling with like a subtle horror and gravitas. And I think that this episode in a sort of standalone way did that so well. Also, the reason that I say it's my favorite, and this is maybe the simplest, is just that it's the one that has stuck with me more than any other one. It's the one I keep thinking about. It's the one that it's like really good food. Like I wanted more. I wanted to dive back in. And yeah, just the layers and the Maria's performance. It's just all really great. So yeah, I absolutely loved that episode.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Okay, so we got a few questions here about production editing. So let's see. This is from Dusty. So in season two, there was the story about the coffee pot and microwave sound effect. Anything like that from season three?
You know, unfortunately not. I didn't get to do, I'm trying to think if I did any like live recording of Foley this season. And I don't think I did. Closest thing was just getting very lucky with a couple of, you know, finds of specific recordings from the different locations we worked, you know, the stories were set in, particularly Allegheny National Forest and New Orleans. Those, you know, I was trying to make them, I just tried to make, since we were in so many different places and many of them, you know, had similar general characteristics to a lot of the other locations we'd heard and visited before, just trying to make them more specific and more kind of accurate to the region in terms of what specific elements I used to build those. But yeah, unfortunately I didn't get to do any kind of like fun live recording with props this season, at least not that I can remember off the top of my head. So
right. James did some recording of like sounds Wellington for episode 60. So like the bird calls, because obviously we can't reproduce that here and they would probably be hard to find. Sounds of like coffee shop chatter and walking around the waterfront. Like all of the sound in that episode was just James walking around with a mic, which I love. I love that.
Or at the very least, it started with that and then I built elements to reinforce that. But it was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really nice having like live recordings from the actual physical locations, because I'm of course doing this all from my closet in Irvine.
Yeah.
It'd be a bit expensive to fly out to all these locations and do live recording of Foley.
Right. Yeah. We're not at that stage. We're not at the big bucks Sheridan tapes stage. That would be quite a lot of big bucks to fly to Wellington just to record some birds. So thankfully we have some friends on the inside. So, all right. This next question is from Aries. What made y'all decide to use a different closing theme for each episode?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of reasoning of why I did it for the, you know, season finales for seasons 1 and 2. It's just to reinforce a sense of kind of finality and closure to, you know, certain story arcs, you know, to, you know, I find, you know, music, you know, songs with lyrics more, you know, that type of thing, as opposed to, you know, the score, which is great for reinforcing the moments there. It's mostly just like a kind of a roll credits, kind of a long curtain kind of moment for me. It just lets the kind of what's happened in, you know, for those ones, what happened in the whole season to kind of sink in and have kind of a moment to process. The reason I decided to do that for basically there was one exception for this, which was, Thou Winter Wind and Totus Apasa both had specific closing credits. But besides that, I did it basically every 4 episodes, just because there seemed to be, you know, in the way the story was structured, and this just kind of happened naturally, it wasn't entirely planned, just about every 4 episodes, some kind of like small arc of the story kind of came to a close and another began.
Which happened to be how we recorded the blocks.
Yes, which is also very handy. But yeah, like the first 4 episodes, you know, with Vox Aeternum, which is very much the pilot for the whole season, and the 3-parter with Amanita and the Araculites, you know, that all felt very connected. All of the stuff on the first kind of return trip to Merryweather, along with the aside in Oslo with Nedgar Morrison.
Nedgar.
And yeah, it just kept happening. And it felt like there were good moments to reinforce, like, this is a moment of shifting and changing in the story. And it was just happening just because of the pace of this this season and the way it unfolded. It felt appropriate to, you know, kind of reinforce those. And we're closing one chapter and moving into another, because just things were constantly changing and moving this season. And I felt that was just a good way to reinforce that. Also helped that I purchased an Artlist subscription early in the season, and that gave me access to a huge library of music that we're able to use now for basically the show and any other projects. Royalty free, along with the big library of sound effects, which was very handy, which is also probably why I didn't record quite so much fully on my end. So that's the storytelling reason and the practical reason.
Yeah, I love all of the songs that you added in there. It's such a fun addition to it. Makes it feel very like dramatic, and it makes it feel like, ooh, this budget went up, didn't it? And it's like, yeah, barely. It's like a little subscription every month, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Next question from Aries. What was the most challenging part of this season to produce? I feel like personally, it was like the midpoint of the season when we were doing that karaoke episode again. There was a lot. That was when I had COVID. There was a lot of like missing recordings and recordings that took a while to get completed because of various issues. Someone else was sick, I believe, as well. That was like the wheels almost came off the bus then, but we got the bus up and running again.
I think that stretch between like episode 58 and
62.
Yeah, honestly, that was the kind of like the height of complexity for the entire show so far, like the most characters, the most moving pieces, the most every single episode is in a completely different location and full of, you know, specific moments of action and, you know, not a whole lot of just sitting in a room monologuing, which, you know, it can get a little old sometimes to listen to, but is also a lot easier to sound design, I will say. I would agree that was the point where things got the most dicey. And then the way the story was told, it did kind of, it slowly eased back and kind of refocused towards the end of the season, which...
Yeah, that helped a lot. Yeah.
Yes, very nice on making sure we... Oh, we were also producing Flight of the Bumblebee around that same time as well. So
that's right. I was jumping back from COVID recovery straight to like, okay, we're going to schedule Flight of the Bumblebee now. It's just like, oh my God. Yeah, I'm glad we all made it through that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, one last question here about production editing, and then we have a couple of sweet little wrap-up questions left. So this is from Jonah. What is the most fun thing about the editing process?
I would say, you know, I really, really love doing sound design. I really love building something strange and bizarre and otherworldly out of just a bunch of random pieces and just trying things out, layering effects, and just tweaking it until it sounds like nothing I've ever heard before. There's always a kind of magic to that for me. But also this season, I mean, I think it's just because we had so many good like dialogue scenes between characters that just had such strong performances. I really enjoyed the dialogue editing process of this season much more than I have before. Like, you know, there were some episodes where it's like, okay, I feel like I'm retiming every single line and it's getting very tedious of tweaking like half second, you know, quarter, just getting it exactly right and going back and forth. But yeah, I had a lot of fun bringing together just some of the quieter, simpler scenes this season, and yeah, taking a little bit of a lighter hand with that. That was a lot of fun.
Mm. All right, y'all. How does it feel being so close to the end, and what surprises you the most about the show now that we're reaching the final season? This is for Mary's with the heartbreaking question. Who wants to go first? Not me this time, someone else.
I'll go first.
All right.
I'm feeling like I'm really glad there's still, as far as I know, a season left for Maria Soul, mm-hmm. because I'm not ready to let go of her just yet. I've become very attached, you know. of course, I have no idea what's going to happen to her or if I'll have a full season with her. But I'm glad to have more time with Maria. And I think the most surprising thing to me is that I have no idea where this is going. I don't know what's happening to my character. I don't know what's happening to anyone else. I genuinely have no clue how this is going to end. That's pretty unusual for me. I'm good at picking up on things. I don't know. But they could end up in space. is Anna alive? I have no idea. I want to know almost as badly as Maria does. I really don't know anything about anything, and it's very refreshing, actually. You know, that's exciting. Mm.
Glad we're able to keep you guessing.
I also would like to know if Anna's alive. okay, so to piggyback on what Ami said, I am really glad that we get at least one more season with Anna. And I am going to be really sad when that's no longer the case. But it kind of goes back to what I said earlier, and this also lends to what I'm most surprised about, is just the magnificence of this podcast and this story and where we started and what it has become and the fans and the reception and the funding and the artwork and the downloads. It's all so amazing. And not that I didn't think that Trevor was beyond brilliant before, because I did. But just what you guys have done with this and turned it into is so amazing. And it's just been such a wild ride. And I've had many life changes during the podcast as well. Also, this whole experience has just been intertwined and interesting and crazy and wonderful. And so that's what surprises me the most is, you know, again, with all fondness where we started and what has become. And I will be sad when it is over. Obviously I'll miss portraying Anna and the acting aspect, but I'll also miss seeing you guys. Because for those who don't know this, not all of us, but the people who initially started this show lived in the same town at one point together. I mean, none of us live there anymore. I don't think. Well, most of us don't.
I
do.
Jesse's in this area.
Some of us live there, but several of us have since left. But we've all been friends for several years is my point. And I'll just miss seeing you guys with such regularity.
Yeah. We'll have to find new reasons.
Yes. I'll miss you, please. Let's find new reasons.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And just, crazy things have happened in the years since we started this podcast just as something to do during the early pandemic days.
A casual pandemic decision. Like, let's make a 100 episode horror series starting right now. Let's go.
I know.
I mean, all the actors I know have a lot more free time all of a sudden.
Which was so true, which is so funny. It was really true. I had all of this free time and then Trevor texted me and then I didn't have any free time anymore.
I swear being friends with me is not normally like that.
No, I'm totally joking. But it is really funny because, I mean, if you think about the schedule that we had, it's so funny because the first season was like the most grueling schedule.
Because I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Well,
No,
I definitely don't feel that way. It was just different. But now it's just different. It's just a different experience. And it's great. It's been wonderful.
Ezra, are you ready to talk? Because I'm not yet.
I am. I can talk. I think for me, so me coming onto this project was a little different than everybody else because most of the main cast already knew each other. And I had to, I saw an audition. I think I saw it on Twitter. And I wanted to work on this show so f***ing bad. I wanted to work on this show so bad. Like, I had never heard of it before, but I read the premise and I was like, oh, I want to play this character so bad. But I really didn't feel good about my audition. And I remember, I came out of the shed and I was like, I went to Brandon and I was like, I'm not getting that part. But, I did read for it and I had a lot of fun. And I did get it. And I think what surprised me the most was how I never felt out of place or like I was the one coming from the outside. Everybody was so nice. Jesse Steele, so f-ing nice. Mike Kennedy, so nice. All of you, I was really made to feel so welcome. And that's something that is hard for me. Like coming into a room with a bunch of people who know each other and have that rapport. Mm-hmm. And I had an awesome experience. I wasn't like surprised, but it was nice. And I also very recently, I think 3 weeks ago, listened to the earliest episodes of the Sheridan tapes for the first time because I had only heard from the second season forward. And what surprised me is like you, Van Winkle, you skill wise have improved so much. It's dramatically different. You have come so far. You've done sound design for two scripts that I've written now and was both excellent and so fun. And you should be so proud of yourself and what you've created.
Thank you, Ezra. Yeah, I very much am. And yes, I will freely say I didn't know what the hell I was doing back in 2020. and I mostly cast myself as Sam. Well, one, because I had played the character before, and two, because it's I know I can at least show up and record each week if no one else can.
Convenience.
So you gotta do it.
Yeah,
it was a good convenience decision to make. It has worked out quite well.
Absolutely. But thank you, Esther. That's very, very kind of you.
I feel very, 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 very grateful that the Sheridan Tapes has been part of my life and that we have one more season. I have time to think about it ending. My life has also changed a bunch, and my personal growth has like skyrocketed during the production of this show. I think that is very related for me, because I needed more time in my life to get to a point where I could believe in myself enough to stick to a long-term project that demanded a lot of me, but also gave me a lot of opportunities to actually like try and have a place to try and have a place to grow. And there's a bunch of other things in my life that have changed and grown along with it. And like, the Sheridan Tapes literally taught me how to create the kind of life that I actually want to have, and not just the kind of life that I think I can figure out or be okay with. Like, working on something like this has stretched me to the point where I had to figure out so many different things and felt like I could. And what surprises me about it is that a horror show did that, probably. But when I think about it, like, I don't know, if you're writing about fears and anxieties and existentialism all the time, like, of course that would happen. So I guess, like, I'm just very more grateful than I know how to say. And there's still things, you know, things developing with the show behind the scenes that are incredibly exciting. And we can't wait to tell people when the time comes. So yes. What about you, Van Winkle? How are you doing over there?
I am also spending a lot of time thinking about those early months of the show. You know, that first table read, the times alone in my apartment where I was like figuring things out in the story, just like having bursts of insight and like writing them down on the whiteboard I had on my wall, and like piecing the story together out of just a bunch of threads of things I liked in the scripts I had just written very quickly to get the series off the ground. Just the fact that we are now rounding the corner on the last chapter of the story, where those answers will come to fruition, and that we have such a clear plan, you know, to get there at this point. It's kind of crazy to me. I didn't know if the series would last this long. I didn't know if we would, you know, ever get to those answers. And I'm also really surprised about the path we've taken to get here, because I didn't know how the story was going to unfold when we started. And also, yeah, in terms of what surprised me the most, like just every season doing the, you know, yeah, this season featured in order of appearance lists in the end credits, and just going through the names of every single person who was in the show that season. Just it is so amazing to me that so many people from around the world, so many amazing, incredible, talented people I, you know, have looked up to and, you know, like had huge amounts of respect for and never thought they would ever be on anything that I had created, were a part of bringing the story to life. And that includes, of course, everyone on this call. It just blows me away. And I am so coming from a place where, you know, when I started doing fiction podcasts like this, it was literally just me alone in my apartment with a single mic, writing, recording, editing everything for that initial, you know, Sam Bailey story. And that it has grown to this place, and that I have met so many wonderful people and worked with so many incredible people, talented actors and, you know, artists, and just I am just so incredibly grateful for this series and everything it has become and everyone who has made it what it is. So
How does it feel being so close to the end? A lot like it felt coming into this season, which is to say, I don't know a lot of what is happening or what's going to happen. I'm not gonna lie, I have not listened to a lot of this show. I've listened to most of season one, and then I had to pare that back because it got too scary for me. I haven't even gotten to season two. I don't know why Ned is a problem. I only know that he is, and I believe that because the bits that I have heard him talk, I'm like, nope, that's a rascal. You have ill intentions. What are you up to, sir? But yeah, I guess the part that surprises me, although in retrospect it really shouldn't, the thing that surprises me is that for as much as I have listened, like, I don't feel like I know anything more, you know? Like, everything only raises further questions. So, yeah, I'm just kind of here being like, what's gonna happen next? Along with everyone listening, I guess. So, I guess we'll find out together.
It's a weird feeling being so close to the end of the show. It honestly, it's been a part of my life off and on just because I'm usually writing music prior to the start of the seasons and then enjoying listening to the seasons like everyone else. It's been a part of my life for many years. And so the idea of it just not being a thing anymore is really weird, both as a person involved in creating it, but also, and in some ways, maybe more so as a listener and an audience member. It's something I look forward to every week when a season is running. It's getting in my car on the way home from the studio and trying to get through an episode as I drive back to the house. And I love experiencing it and seeing what Trevor has done with my music and the ways that it's landed and just being a part of the community and the creative team. And so, yeah, it's, I mean, to sum it up in a word, it's weird. And I think the thing that surprises me most about the show is how much the first music that I wrote for the show in the first season still works. I mean, I've written a lot of music since that first season, but the first batch of music I've used is probably the music that is still used the most in the show. And I don't hate it yet, which is sort of surprising. And I think it's actually, it works. So, you know, that surprises me. I kept expecting to sort of be over it by now, but I think with the new themes and stuff, I mean, maybe everyone else feels differently, but to me, I think it's still working. So that's definitely been a surprise.
All right, before our final question, I do want to mention we are crowdfunding right now. So if you not, Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm getting tired.
I want to try that again.
So if you have not supported the campaign yet, please go check it out. seedandspark.com/fund/SheridanTapes4. I think I forgot a .com in there. The link's in the notes. You get it. It's been everywhere. Yeah. If you follow us on social media, please check it out. Even $5 or $10 helps a lot. We really do need to raise that money in order to pay people in order to make season 4. It's a good story we have for you at the end here, and we need your help to work on it. Sorry, that reminded me of Galaxy Quest when they're like, we need your help.
Excellent. Yes.
Okay, so that's my little crowdfunding plug. And we'll go into the final question here from Aries. Are there any plans for long-term series or projects following the end of the Sheridan tapes?
Yeah, I have ideas. My main thing right now is I really want to go back and do more stories in, you know, the Tales of the Echowood series. I have a plan for about 4 more seasons of that. If, you know, that's something people want. It's something I definitely want, so I might just do it anyway.
Honestly, yeah, the Echowood is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. It's a very basic outline at this point, but the shape of where I want it to go, I'm very excited about. And, you know, we've given some thought about, you know, the series itself is coming to an end, but there might be, you know, the possibility of, you know, little one-off special things or maybe some kind of anthology projects kind of set in the story and tone of the Sheridan tapes that we've talked about maybe doing at some point. But yeah, right now my focus is very much just on the final season is kind of a crazy story, and I really just want to make sure all of my attention is on telling that as best I can and, you know, making sure we land this 100 episode behemoth.
Yeah, all of our intentions are aligned on like continuing to make beautiful, ambitious, quality projects after this point. So this will not be the end. It perhaps will be the end of the Sheridan tapes, but you know, there's always more stuff. Boy, this was like a lot more sentimental than I actually expected it to be. But you know what? It's been really lovely, and it's so nice to be able to talk about it this way with everyone, and it's not like we're fitting in bits of conversation before recording sessions or something like that. It's like actually getting to talk about the show. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you everyone who submitted questions. And thank you to our people who've recorded answers for us remotely and submitted them. Anyone want to say anything else before we close this out?
I just want to thank all of the fans for their support, all of the art, all of the positivity, the wonderful comments. Just thank you guys. It's been a wild ride, and you've been, the best part. So
absolutely
agreed. Mm-hmm.
I just want to say thank you so much to our listeners. It is one of life's greatest joys for me as a person who makes things is to make things that people actually engage with and listen to and experience, and to have so many of you listen to and dissect and enjoy the show is just an absolute honor. So I'm incredibly thankful for you, and I can't wait to be a part of and also just experience this final season of the show coming up. So season 3 was great. Looking forward to the next one. Thank you.
All right, Van Winkle, you want to close this out?
Yeah, might as well. thank you all so much for listening to what I'm assuming is going to be a 2-part thing that will go on quite long. But this has been a lot of fun just chatting with all of you, and glad to be able to share it with everyone listening. So take care of yourselves. There'll be more kind of bonus inter-season content coming at your way shortly. There will be a bit of a break, obviously, over kind of the holiday season, but we will be back before you know it. Please do support the crowdfunding campaign if you haven't already. And we'll see y'all very soon. Bye. The final season of the Sheridan Tapes is crowdfunding now at seedandspark.com/fund/SheridanTapes4. Help us finish the story of Anna Sheridan and find answers to the mystery, and get exclusive rewards and perks for backing the campaign before it closes on December 11th, 2022. That's seedandspark.com/fund/SheridanTapes4, or follow the crowdfunding link at thesheridantapes.com.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question 2 ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.